I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's graduation time, and there are many high school seniors who are going to be going to college in the fall, or they're going to be entering the workforce. Our guest this hour suggests that we entertain the idea of taking a gap year, taking a year off before we start studying once again in college, or if we start working again, the purpose to explore other parts of life, to learn a trade, to go volunteer either in the United States or someplace else in the world, to travel if possible. The trend is not really new. It's growing in popularity here in America. It's quite popular, evidently, in Australia and also in Britain. Our guest this hour is Ethan Knight. He is executive director of the American Gap Association and has been working within the world of gap years since 1996, when he took his own gap year to India, Nepal, and Tibet. He graduated from Willamette University with majors in English and philosophy and a minor in environmental sciences, went to work for LEAP Now, eventually leading programs for students through Latin America and Asia. He founded the Carpe Diem Education, where he established a foundation dedicated to the inclusion of economically disadvantaged students in gap year programs. We welcome your phone calls. Some of you may have done a gap year. What did you do when you graduated from high school? Or it doesn't necessarily have to be that year. You can do another gap year. Did you go off and explore some part of the world? Did you decide that you were going to volunteer for some time and become, say, an AmeriCorps worker or work with somebody on the issue of poverty in another country or in the United States? Did you learn a trade? Did you figure, I need to take a year off here and do something else other than hit the books all the time? Get ready for the next 4 years or more of hitting the books. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page, like us, and then you can always get notifications of what we're up to is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Hi, Ethan. Thanks for being with us, sir.
Certainly. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Well, let's start with your gap year. Where did you go, and why did you decide to do a gap year?
You know, truthfully, so I went my freshman year to college. I sort of say that I followed the herd, just did what everyone else was doing, and I had had a great high school education, so quite frankly was able to get by with doing maybe half an hour of homework a week.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Oh, good for you.
You know, and my grades were good enough, and I just thought, you know, I'm wasting my time here. I'm just not making the most of it, and so went to India, Nepal, and Tibet with the helpful guidance of an organization called Interim Programs.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do there?
Well, while I was there, so it was 7 months of my time was in India, Nepal, and Tibet. I did everything from volunteering in a soup kitchen for a month to living in a thatched hut during monsoon season for a month, working on some solar panel projects in parts of India. And then, of course, when you're up in the shadows of the Himalayas, you really have to take advantage, and so I spent a good deal of my time trekking and hiking throughout those outdoors areas.
So you probably learned some things you didn't know much about unless you were an expert in solar panels before you went there.
That's the true statement, for sure, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so you were gone for 7 months, you came back and you felt like you wanted to study more, or you wanted to study in another direction? What did it do for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I left, I was thinking of an English, thinking of a philosophy and physics major, and found that math was not my strongest suit. So when I left, I was looking for a little bit of, you know, trying to figure out what my next steps were going to be like. And what I came to grasp with was the sense that I really want to contribute meaningfully in the world. My skills, I had a deeper sense for what my skills were. And so to honestly pull a bit of a cliche here, when I left before my gap year, I would take notes in class and, you know, put them down on a piece of paper, ostensibly to put them back out there for a test or something, promptly then to be forgotten. When I came back from my gap year, I just had this quintessential, and it's totally cliche now, experience where a professor, you know, these tremendous fonts of knowledge, they'd share these great insights, and then curiosity would kick in, and I'd actually go to the library. Believe it or not, colleges have these great big buildings with tons of books and lots of information.
No.
So it just changed how I chose to engage with the world around me. I think I was a passive learner before, and coming back became much more an active one.
Well, there is something to be said when you look at all the years you're going to school, you go to kindergarten, or maybe you go to preschool now, and then you go year after year after year after year through senior year in high school. There is something to be said for doing something else, for needing a break from all of the constant book learning.
Truthfully, it's one of the top two reasons why students are saying that they're taking a gap year, burnout from the competitive pressure of high school. Getting into college is such a competitive endeavor. And then when you also look at the sort of the finances of it all, right, you have to super compete in order to gain access to increased financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
So not surprisingly, yeah, students are coming in somewhat, I hate to say it, burnt out. I like to say, prefer to say instead, they need a bit of an academic recharge. They need to charge their batteries up a little bit. But I think a large part of the disconnect is also that students are getting exposed to great information and theory in school up until that point, but they don't really have the understanding for why that's relevant in the real world. Why is trigonometry relevant? Why is history, why is the Renaissance relevant to what you're doing in your day-to-day life? And over the course of the gap year, I had a great set of opportunities to apply those theories and tidbits of knowledge into something that was just really practical. It was actually useful information, mm-hmm, surprisingly.
And yet we're so programmed to believe this is what you do. You graduate from high school, you have to decide and take all your exams and go through the entrance requirements and apply. And most people are on a track. If they're going to college, they know they're going to be doing that when they graduate from high school. I'm wondering what kind of response you got from your family and from your teachers when you said, I'm going to walk off that track for a while and I'm going to go to India and Nepal and Tibet.
That's a great question. Truthfully, most of my friends thought I was crazy. The school, Willamette University, they bent over backwards, actually. It was really easy. I had to sign what they call a leave of absence. So I just took a leave of absence for a year and just told them what I was going to do, and they pretty much rubber-stamped it. They were happy to see me go. I don't take it personally. And then, truthfully, when I expressed my interest to my mom, and this is my mom, she's a PhD social worker, it was no more than a heartbeat after I said I was planning to go to India that she said no.
Right, I can understand that. Honey, you can't go that far away. I'll worry about you. Right, I got it completely.
Exactly what it was, yeah. It took some convincing and the fact that we were able to work with an organization that had done this stuff before. And, I think part of it was just there was no context, no frame of reference for anyone in any of our circles having done this before. And so that's really what I think was the sort of the straw that broke the camel's back that made her turn around and say, okay, well, I guess I got to let go.
Right. Yeah. Well, there is probably a difference between deciding you're going to take a year off and sleeping in every day and kind of lounging and working with your organization, the American Gap Association, to find something that, not that sleeping in can't be meaningful if you need a lot of sleep, but to do something that is making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the classic concerns that parents always say is I'm happy to support something like this. I just don't want to, maybe pay for a vacation or a year on the beach and it's very understandable. It's much more about doing something meaningful or the way that we like to say it is going into it with intention.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the American Gap Association. Do you provide ideas for young people or what exactly do you do, Ethan?
First of all, our mission is generally just to make gap year more available. We want every student to take a gap year, preferably between high school and college, although truthfully we are actually seeing a lot of people take a gap year after college and before maybe post-grad, master's degree or med school or something like that. But the American Gap Association, several things that we do. One is we have the best practices, or as I like to call them, the effective practices for gap students. And so we run organizations through what's about 150 standards that they have to prove. And it's largely based around safety. As we did our research a couple years ago, we found that one of the biggest reasons parents, educational accountants, centers, educational consultants, all of these people, one of the biggest reasons why they weren't recommending a gap year was they just didn't know who the good ones are. What's a good, safe experience? And so we run sort of programs, organizations, through our accreditation protocols, through our standards. But we also are trying to address the poverty, sort of the lower income side of things. So we're looking for some degree of socioeconomic parity because it does cost money to do this kind of adventuring. Traveling, experiential learning, all of these cost money, especially if there's supervisors. So a large part of one of our goals are primarily to fundraise, provide access to resources and information about how you can fundraise yourself, and then also put together sort of planning tools. So there's gap consultants out there, like Interim Programs, who I went through. They held my hand through the entire process, stitched together a variety of different pieces to really create a phenomenal gap year. They cost money, and a lot of people have in their individual connections. Maybe it's an uncle or an aunt who lives in Turkey or you know, Australia, and you can, you know, knock on their door and say, hey, what can you help me do that actually has some substance and some meaning? And then probably one of the other big pieces that we have a hand in is the data and research. So wanting to know, you know, how does this translate for a student? Do they walk away saying what kinds of things? And so we're actually doing our national alumni survey. If you have any listeners who are interested in filling it out, they can go to our homepage and fill out the national alumni survey. It's about a 20-minute sort of set of questions that are really designed to help us understand what kinds of outcomes a student might expect on the tail end of a gap year.
I'm so glad you're making this available to people who don't have very high incomes, because the world is your oyster in many ways. If you do have a lot of money and you can take, even before you graduate from high school, trips with a family to exotic locations and learn about the world, and there is something to be said for learning about the world in many, many, many ways. And if you don't have the money to do it, you're just cut off from all of that. And it shouldn't just be for people who are wealthy.
It's true. You know, one of the nonprofits that you alluded to earlier, Carpe Mundi, that I set up, what we're seeing is that the groundwork that's laid over the course of this year for those students is so transformational. And there's some concerns initially of, you know, how do they re-enter coming back to the country? Or are there other issues that maybe a student from a lower-income demographic who maybe have never been on an airplane before might encounter? And what we're finding is that students are resilient. It's amazing what you can do if you structure it well. And so we've been constantly impressed with these students and the levels to which they rise at the tail end. And you know, honestly, we're seeing there's a student who just finished, Damien, who just finished the Carpe Mundi year-long program. He did it, you know, completely free of cost, and now he's gotten a free ride to go to college at Lewis and Clark here in Oregon. And so it's fantastic to see sort of the ceiling come off, if you will, from that space of what you could do with your life.
Right. You also think statistics are given to us showing that it takes sometimes 6 years, if not longer, to get through college, and 50% of students don't graduate in 6 years of college. So it seems to me as though maybe a significant number of those young people are taking their gap year by sitting in the dorm room and not going to class. Don't you think? Really?
I think freshman year
is hard.
I will actually contend that the average college student, if let's say they graduate in 4 years, and that's certainly the minority that do, but of those 4 years, really maybe 2.5 to 3 years of real learning happens. Part of it is sort of, you know, you're experimenting with new culture, new opportunity, new community, but you also have to reattune yourself to a collegiate environment. And you know, one of the great concerns that parents have about their kids doing a gap year is that they're afraid they're going to get off the college track. And I love this saying, Carl Hagler, he's one of the authors of a phenomenal book, Gap Year, The American Style. He told me it's parents are afraid their kids will fall off the college path, whereas kids are afraid they'll never find their own path in life. And so it's wonderful, but you know what we're finding is that 90% of students who take a gap year are back in school within a year, and their time to graduation is less than, by far, than the average student. So the metrics are really lining up. It's sort of it's me who's saying it, but it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Let's welcome phone calls and emails and Facebook comments. We're talking about the gap year this hour of the program with a guest who is working to help organize such years for others and did his own gap year kind of in the middle of it after his freshman year in college. Ethan Knight is executive director of the American Gap Association. For those of you who have done this year, we're interested in your experiences. We're interested in how difficult it may be to be a freshman in college and how much real studying gets done at that time, or if there might be something better to do between your senior year and freshman year in college to make you understand what it is you want to do, to give you a recharge after so much book learning for such a long period of time. Did you do a gap year? Where did you go? What did you think of it? Were you a parent of somebody who wanted to do a gap year and you thought, oh no, honey, you can't go so far away. I don't know, I'll worry. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Twitter at K Dunn Show. And you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to phone calls now for Ethan Knight, executive director of the American Gap Association. And let's start with Julia in Oshkosh. Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I must be living vicariously through my 10-year-old daughter because I've already told her that as soon as she graduates from high school, she will take a year off and travel the world. And, of course, I'll accompany her if I can. or work and really get to see what the real world is like before she goes on to college. And her question was, well, don't I have to go to college right away? And I said, no, you can defer enrollment. And I was talking about this to a couple of friends, and many of my friends had no idea you can do this. And I was wondering if your guest could comment on that and maybe getting the word around that, yes, you can apply for college, get accepted, and then defer enrollment for a year. And I will take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.
It's a great question, Julia. Yeah, you know, truthfully, it is something that I think very few people are even aware that they can do. And it is what we advise generally to do is to apply to college, get accepted, and then defer. Every school has a different, somewhat varied deferral policy, so you have to ask. Some schools might put stipulations on it, such as, you know, like you have to avoid getting any college credit, or you have to stay in communication a certain amount of times, or you can't apply to any other schools. But generally, when a student says, I'm going to defer to take a gap year, most schools, especially if they know what a gap year is, get behind it because they see all the data is up there. It's very positive. It looks good for the school to have phenomenally well-motivated students showing up in class. And so it's actually something that we did about a year and a half ago. I had an intern, God bless interns, but I had a great one who reached out and found that there was a sort of a dearth of information about college deferral policies. And so through his research, managed to get about, I think it's around 300 schools. They're available on our website. You can look at the deferral policies because each one, again, it's different. Some have stipulations around college credit, and some, again, it might vary how they look at your financial aid award, which is to say that you might, in most cases, have to reapply for your federal financial aid, your FAFSA, because that's every year. But quite often I'm finding that the merit aid, it will actually transfer over to when you actually do come back to the school.
There are, it's my understanding, Ethan, a number of schools, including most of the Ivy League schools, who actually encourage a gap year.
Very much so. Harvard, actually, when you get your acceptance letter, I've never seen one of those, but when Harvard sends you an acceptance letter, they actually do say, congratulations, welcome to Harvard, now go take a gap year.
Really?
Exactly. And they see it's because they've seen the benefits of it. So there's a great study put out by Bob Claggett. He's now down in Austin, Texas. But before that, he was the dean of admissions of Middlebury. And before that, he was the assistant dean of admissions at Harvard. And he started to notice these students were coming through doing this strange thing called a gap year. And they were active on campus. They were getting more awards than others. And he thought, well, maybe there's something here. So he put together a methodology and basically was able to statistically demonstrate that students who take a gap year overperform what they're expected to in terms of their GPA. So you can actually see some real benefits to taking a gap year numerically. It's really nice to have that quantitative stuff.
Mm-hmm. Ken in Duluth, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I you know, my experience taking a gap year, I graduated in 1990, and I received a lot of pressure from coaches, counselors, teachers to go directly into college, and I had no plans on doing it. And felt the pressure over the year. I ended up going to college. I knew I was ready, and played college sports and pretty much failed out after my first year. Wow. Left, traveled, ended up spending several years abroad, and came back, and got a wealth of experience and experiences, traveling the world, got a whole different perspective. And when I came back, I was much more focused, and I knew what I wanted, and I knew I wanted to be in college and pursue, higher education. And, getting that pressure early on, when I knew I wasn't ready, I felt this is the direction I need to go because the adults are telling me to pursue this. And one of the things I find in our culture is, our perspectives tend to be so small in the world that we live in without, a lot of international experience and exposure. And getting some of that exposure is so, valuable just in expanding our world and the horizons and the possibilities that are out there for young students. And my nieces and nephews and, any young person I interact with, I really encourage them to, take that time and take a year and don't go straight into college when you may not be ready. And the way that our four-year education is structured, it's very intense. You're taking your physics, your calculus, your core science classes right away freshman year, and a lot of people aren't ready for that.
Thank you very much, Ken, for your call. Ethan?
Yeah, I think, so it's funny, whenever I get the opportunity to speak in front of a bunch of high schoolers, it's one of my questions, one of my favorite questions, is why are you going to college? And most of them will have a fairly well-rehearsed answer, but not a personal one. In essence, they won't have necessarily thought, what do I want to get out of college? Which, if you go back to my story of where it was a cliche experience coming back and actually being genuinely curious, I think that's exactly what it sort of points to. Students just don't take the time to think about it, and they just do it. And we all know that when you do something sort of automatically as opposed to with real intention, you get much different results. And to the caller's point about the international side of things, I'm actually a fan of saying this, but I think that in this generation and every generation to come, you can expect that in your career, so I'm thinking of a college student, sometime in their career, probably multiple times, they'll either have the boss, they'll either be the boss of or have a boss who's from another culture. And so having that international literacy, that cross-cultural literacy, I think it's such an important piece to success in any workspace moving forward. It's just something that most Americans are at a disadvantage of. I mean, if you think of the number of Americans that hold passports, I think it's in the low 20% number number of Americans who hold passports.
Thanks, Ken, for the call. Jane writes on Facebook, I taught college freshmen for 8 years and often wondered if their parents knew how little time they put into their education. I wish most of them had taken a year off before beginning college.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. There's a piece of data that one of the college folks put together that asks how many hours do students spend studying? And it's not surprisingly become less and less and less every year that they've done this study.
Hmm. Kay is next in Stoughton. Hello, Kay.
Hi. I just have to say I totally agree that it is a good idea to take some time when you're a young person just graduating from high school to explore a little bit before you feel so pressured to make a career choice. And I think, either volunteering or traveling are great opportunities. I've also often thought that if a child, a high school student, I guess wouldn't be considered a child, but a young person has some interests that they think they might want to pursue, it would be an awesome thing if they could be given the opportunity to either volunteer in that area or do an internship in that area for, a semester or something to explore first before they get on a fast career track. And also, I'm approaching retirement. I'm a second grade teacher, and I want to take a gap here when I retire, and I would love to, travel and do some volunteering in another country. So, I think it's good for everyone, not just for the young person.
I wonder, we'll have to explore opportunities for you. I'm sure there are other listeners who would like to do just that, Kay, for people who are about to retire. And thank you very much. We have a lot of emails coming in. Scotty, who works with us, Scotty Myers, writes, I did a gap year because I wasn't content with my early college experience. I decided to join an AmeriCorps program where I helped children in the classroom and became a community organizer. All the while, I earned a stipend and almost $10,000 for past and future student loans. My gap year was full of learning and one of the best experiences of my life.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. If I can make a comment to the caller, as you retire, there's a couple great networks that are out there to stitch together some meaningful, sort of real, authentic experiences overseas, if that's where you're interested in going. A woman named Rita Golden Gelman, she wrote a great book called Tales of a Female Nomad. Mm. And she's long been a huge fan of gap years. I think she takes one every other year. She's lucky that way. But there's two organizations that she's brought me in the line of called Help X and Serve Us, S-E-R-V-A-S. That people can sign up for and maybe end up in a homestay in Turkey or other parts of the world.
Great. Let's go next to Michael in Milwaukee. Hello, Michael.
I actually just graduated from Marquette University last month with a major in business, and I'm not considering continuing my education at this point. I've received three job offers and turned them all down.
Ooh.
And I was considering taking a gap year. My only concern is that when I return, especially with the degree in business and having a pretty good idea of what I want to do, I'm concerned about what employers will think and was wondering if there are any resources where I could find doing a gap year, doing something that is in line with my career goals. I know that in things like philosophy and theology, it seems like it may be a little bit easier to do a gap year because it seems to be more in line with what you're doing. But with a business degree, it seems like it might be a little bit more challenging. So I was wondering your thoughts on that, Ethan.
It's a great question, and it abuts into some of the there's common concerns, for instance, about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math majors taking a gap year that maybe somehow there aren't good options for them. And I will tell you that there are, actually. In fact, it's not uncommon during a gap year to go land yourself, I'm just imagining down in South America, where English fluency is, of course, a great asset. You could walk into many businesses. So thinking of it as an internship, some way that you can, of course, you know, take a business, a language school, for instance, or a nonprofit overseas, and help them turn a few things around, maybe with some demonstrables that say, before I stepped in, I was able to, or they were seeing this much web traffic, now they're seeing this much web traffic, or income, or what kinds of things. So there are tons of opportunities that are out there. There's an organization, for instance, called Quetzal Trekkers, based out of Guatemala and Nicaragua. All of their proceeds go to fund an orphanage that they're sort of the sole benefactors for, and they constantly need volunteers to come down, lead trekking adventures, but it's as an all-volunteer organization, they're always looking for people with business savvy to help promote and develop the various quote-unquote products or experiences that they offer to tourists. So there's tons of ways to do it. I think the question is more so in terms of finding who's a good placement for you. And you can spend some time sleuthing on the Internet, making some informed phone calls and seeing what they have available. You'll need to concern yourself a little bit with visas and whatnot. Or you can work with a placement agency, one of the gap year consultants that's available on our website. Interim programs, en route consulting, Tailor the Gap, Taking Off. There's one in Canada. There's a variety of them that are around the country, and they're a great resource.
And thank you, Michael. Philip in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. My penultimate degree is from University of Oregon. I look back, I was programmed to go to college immediately. And I discovered that if I had learned a craft first, I could have followed through on an invention I had in my sophomore year, but I didn't know how to fabricate it. Some years later, an automotive engineer said it was a great idea, but too late because they had fuel injection. But I want to suggest, I totally agree with the gap year, but I'd like to go further. With student debt, our economy is in great danger. I would like to suggest that students have an option after high school graduation of any kind of nonprofit volunteering and have something analogous to the GI Bill so that they have experience worldwide or locally and have a chance to mature and know exactly what they want. And when colleges today are moving toward the business model and they're evaluated based on the number of applications they have, that has nothing to do with education or quality of students. I would like to know what you think of that idea. I thought of it actually during the time of the development of the Peace Corps.
I mean, honestly, if there was a way to provide federal funding to do this, or certainly, I mean, even more so to go to college, I think that would be phenomenal. Truthfully, it is one of our endeavors, and it's our big, hairy, audacious goal, if you will, for the American Gap Association, is to open the doors for credit and federal financial aid dollars. Because what we're hearing is that the incoming level of sort of the average freshman from an academic perspective is it's declining each year, basically. And so colleges are faced with this challenge of having a less motivated student, but a very high cost. And certainly, you know, for me, if I'm to look out at sort of not only the gap year, but education in general, it's the closest thing we have to a panacea for the world's ills. I mean, you know, if ever I was president for a day, I'd sort of declare, you know, a good portion of every tax dollar should just be going directly to education, because I think we are shooting ourselves in the foot, frankly, if we're not getting in front of the educational curve.
Thank you, Philip. And it's time for Philip to have a new invention, right? Because he could do it now. Just need something new. Krista writes on Facebook, I took a couple years off after my undergraduate studies before medical school. It was even suggested by my school's health education center and the medical school. I went to college out of state for 5 years, and in my gap year, went back home, took time to volunteer, work, and enjoy life. It definitely made me feel like a more well-rounded and mature person.
I love that. I love that. It's such a fundamentally human way to think forward. I mean, honestly, as I think about it, we as a culture are evolving rapidly, and it's no longer such a thing that you have to just work. There's actually a possibility that what you love to do could be what you're paid to do.
Yes.
And
yes.
The gap year, I think, is a phenomenal way to test that theory out. If what you love to do can really sustain an income, then great. Put your focus in that direction.
We're going to welcome our phone calls. Our guest this hour is Ethan Knight is the executive director of the American Gap Association. And what he's doing is helping people design gap years, promoting the practice for U.S. students. The American Gap Association sets standards and accredits gap year programs for high school graduates to participate in before they start college. Some of you, we've heard from many of you already this hour, had such a year. You can talk about what you did. Do you think this is a good idea? Is it a good idea for everybody that we should all do a year of volunteering in some form before we go on to the workplace or go on to college? Our number for us to hear from you is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and Twitter is @KDunnShow. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're welcoming more phone calls, and send us messages, too, if you don't want to talk on the air or can't. Facebook is open to you, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We'd love to read your comments, even if you don't want to have them on the air. And our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Before we go back to calls, Ethan, give us a sense of how this is growing in popularity here in America and how strong it has been in places like Australia and Britain.
Yeah, you know, we've seen it grow pretty much every year. So we actually do an informal census of organizations, and are finding that, for instance, in 2014, we saw maybe 11% more enrolled students than we did in 2013. In 2013, we saw 27% more than 2012. So it's growing pretty rapidly. We still estimate that it's less than 1% of college-bound students are taking a gap year in the States. That number is closer to, say, maybe 30% in the UK.
That's high.
Yeah, we'd love to get there.
Let's go to more phone calls. Daryl in Trevor, hi.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good, I really enjoyed this conversation. I just wanted to call in and say I think another option is to go into the military. I started teaching at the University of Wisconsin System the first class in 1979. It was right after the Vietnam War. A lot of students came in on the GI Bill. And I have to say, they were probably some of the most mature and dedicated and focused students I have ever seen. Their education was paid for. Many of them had experience in the areas that they were studying in, whether that be engineering, science, communications, whatever. And either they knew they wanted to do that or they knew they didn't want to do that. But I would advocate students, and I have to say I wish I would have done it, doing a stint in the military, getting your college paid for, get background, get education, mature a little bit. And I just have to say, in my experience of over 30 years of teaching, those will have been some of the best students I've ever taught.
Thanks so much, Daryl, for your call. Ethan.
I think the military, it's a good, I mean, basically, you know, if you think about it, what we're really talking about is gaining some more life experience before moving forward with how you choose to live your life. And so, you know, certainly, if there's a more compressed way to get some extra living in than the military, I can nary think of one. Interestingly enough, there's another movement afoot that very much parallels the gap year movement, and it's being piloted by the Franklin Project, which is an offshoot of the Aspen Institute in D.C. And they're trying to set up a national year of service between the ages of 18 and 28. Largely as an alternative to military service. So it's being driven very much so by General Stanley McChrystal, and that's very much the thinking is let's expand the reach for people to engage in their home communities. It's much more domestically focused, doing some sort of service, but exactly along these same ideas. Maybe the idea behind the Franklin Project is that or young people would like to serve in the military, but maybe don't have the ability to. Maybe there's sort of other concerns that limit their ability to serve in the military, and so are wanting to engage in some sort of patriotic endeavor, largely being service focused.
Mm. Now, it's true, isn't it? Because some people worry about finances. We talked about you're working with low-income students to allow them this opportunity. I have read that there are some schools, and let's be specific, UNC, Chapel Hill, Tufts, and Princeton, who offer funded gap years to incoming students. That's something.
I love it. I mean, you know, for me, this is the bee's knees, not to sound too old, but, Tufts and Princeton, the way that works is you apply to the school itself. Once you're accepted, then you apply secondarily to their gap year or their bridge year. Some of these schools are calling it a bridge year. They do fund it. It's not necessarily needs blind. But if you have need and get accepted, then they have promised to fill that extra, pardon the pun, gap. But there are other programs, like schools like Elon or Portland State University, Naropa, Florida State University, St. Norbert's, that also offer gap years and include it as part of your academic course. So maybe your freshman semester or freshman year, from a credit perspective, could actually get achieved as part of their programs. Those are called what we have dubbed a 1+3 program, as opposed to Tufts or Princeton's 1+4 program.
Hmm. That's great. Diane is next. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, Diane. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm really enjoying your show. I just wanted to call, and I don't mean to sound repetitive, but I am a parent of a daughter that took a gap year. At high school, when she was graduating, her father has a PhD, and I don't have a college degree. So we both had our own reasons for wanting her to go to college. But we let her go to Norway, where her father's from, for a year. She had 2 years of different work experiences, came back to Wisconsin, went to CVTC, then Minneapolis, ended up coming back and getting a degree in at UWEC, and she's now in grad school at 26, and has had 1 year of grad school, and really, I think if she could call, she would tell you that she appreciated having that gap year. So I'm just another parent out there who really is pushing for kids to do that. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane, for the call. A lot of endorsements. Nobody's saying this is a bad thing, Ethan.
No. You know, truthfully, I think the most common concern is really a financial one. And, you know, it is something to be aware of. You know, I hear regularly from parents, I saved for 4 years, I didn't save for five.
Right.
You know, sidestepping all of the concerns about, or, you know, the equatability side of well, you can graduate earlier or you're less likely to take 6 years if you take a gap year. So, you know, sidestepping those questions. The truth is, gap years don't have to be that expensive. When I went on mine for 7 months overseas, I spent about $3,000 and came back and then worked for the remaining 5 months, picked up a job here locally in Portland. Gap year organizations themselves are giving, in 2014, they gave away just shy of $3 million in needs-based aid. And some of them that offer college credit can open the door for FAFSA. So there's a lot of sort of funding that's out there. But, you know, in general, it maybe 5 years ago I would hear more naysayers. And these days I really don't hear it that often. It's more I'm on board. Tell me how to do it.
Right. Thanks, Diana. Sue in Door County. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was a mom who encouraged her kids to go straight into college because that was my frame of reference. And our daughter graduated a year ago, May, and it was like, what now? And so she's taking her gap year now. She decided she was going to go to Barcelona. We were like, okay, you're going to Barcelona. And she looked into the TEFL course, which is teaching English as a foreign language, took a month course there, taught there for about 3 months, realized she really couldn't support herself, and they had a great job placement service at that school, and South Korea was really looking for native English-speaking teachers. And she's been in Seoul for 4 months, absolutely loving the city, the culture, the people, the school she's teaching in, and, you know, thinking about doing a second year before she comes back for her master's. So we're, like, thrilled that she took the gap year and didn't go straight into getting her master's.
Does she know what she wants to do when she returns?
Well, you know, she's teaching, which was not on her radar at all, undergrad. But, you know, the story she's telling us, you know, when she Skypes home, she sounds like I'm a teacher.
Oh.
Sounds like a natural teacher. You know, she's dealing with, you know, kids in a different culture, creatively, which is a little bit different for this Korean school, but the director is so impressed with her. She is teaching the other teachers what she's doing outside of rote paperwork, you know, sheets of paper that the kids write on, because she's got a very creative bent. And, yeah, she's just thriving. And I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't come back and, you know, maybe does her master's in teaching. If not, but I think this is going to give her great direction.
Mm. And in terms of being able to navigate the world and figure out how to do things for yourself, I'm sure that it's been very, very important time for her.
Yes. She's been, I have to say, she is a Foreign Service child, so the world has kind of been her background, but under the embassy umbrella. So this is extremely different for her to be out there forging how to do everything on her own. We're proud of her, and we totally support her. She's going to do another year, and I think she's going to come back more directed in what she wants to do with the rest of, you know, her work life.
And how does that happen from all of the people you've worked with and from hearing all of these stories? What makes people come back more directed, Ethan?
You know, truthfully, I think people are coming back. You know, partially it's a matter of having forged their own path, and maybe never having had exposure to do that before. But I think a large part of it is you know, it's sort of like an opportunity to nibble around the edges of a potential career that they might not have ever had the opportunity to do before. I mean, high schools are getting less and less funding to do, you know, maybe an auto shop class or music, where a student might get exposed to a different type of career path. And so that sort of puts it on us as individuals to figure out, well, gosh, is that something I like or don't like? And I think the sad truth is that there's not much time in a student's academic pathway to figure out what they define as success. So I think we end up spending a lot of time chasing someone else's definition of success, and there's no way you could ever be successful in that. It's someone else's definition of success. So really, I think it's a lot of an opportunity of figuring out, gosh, you know, like, what does success look like for me? Is a BMW happy success, or is family a different version of success? And you get exposed to varying ways to do this thing called life over the course of a good gap year.
Right. Thanks, Sue, so much for your call in to Lee in Richland Center. Hi.
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 Very happy to be on your program. It's wonderful, and I really appreciate this topic. It was introduced just a little bit ago, and I never thought about it, but I'm 71 years of age. I graduated from high school in 1962. In 1964, I was conscripted into the service after 2 years of misery with the University of Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And after 4 years in the service, I knew exactly what I wanted. I didn't mind re-enlisting, but it was not going to be as an enlisted man. I was going to be an officer.
Oh.
And so I went back to school, and I finished a four-year degree in 2.5 years, and I had a straight-A average. And I went back, and I picked up a master's degree in 1.5 years, and I'm a retired school teacher. And so everything that you are covering, I think, is extremely valid and very well put. And you've described my life through your program today.
Well, we're gladly, and we didn't even know you, but we must have had you subconsciously in mind. When you mentioned the first few years of just not clicking with going to the university, what was going on? Were you too immature? Were you not? Were you tired of school?
I was extremely immature. I was not a good student. I was not focused. It was just I didn't know which way was up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 1 year at the University of Wisconsin, and I had just a miserable grade point average, and I was on suspension and ended up going to Kenosha Technical Institute, where I did better.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, then Sam decided he wanted me for the service, and I went and joined the Air Force, and because there's no way I wanted 2 years in the Army, I'd take 4 years in the Air Force instead.
Mm-hmm.
So like I say, after that period of time, I got 2 years in the States and 2 years in Germany. And having rubbed a lot of elbows and seen a lot of things, when I came out, I knew exactly what I wanted.
I guess, you breezed on through.
Yes, and it made life so easy. I knew what I wanted, and I was in with a bunch of younger students, and I could just see the huge difference. I could see myself in many of them from 4 years previously, and it just made one big difference just to have that year, you know, those 4 years away and to gain considerably in maturity and life experience, and it made a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, our poster child for the gap year and a little more. Thank you, Lee, very much for the call. Well, again and again, we're hearing about that. Maybe it is something that we need to examine, that a lot of people need to take a year before they go on to school, that they need a break. We're hearing from person after person, Ethan.
I think it's a good time to be in the field of what I'm doing.
I think you're right. Give us a website again for American Gap Association.
Sure thing. It's americangap.org.
Well, all right. That's easy. Thank you so much. It was a fun hour and
my
informative.
Pleasure.
Thanks. Ethan Knight, Executive Director of the American Gap Association. And thanks to K.P. Whaley for producing this interesting show. Scotty Myers, who took a gap year, who did on-air production for us. Tomorrow during this time period, Steve Inskeep will be joining us. I really like the way he delivers the news. He's good, isn't he? And the show, Morning Edition, is the most widely heard radio news program in the United States. He's taken some time off to investigate President Andrew Jackson and Cherokee Chief John Ross and written a book, Jackson Land, The Great American Land Grab. The two left behind a lot of letters, and actually Ross worked under Andrew Jackson during the War of 1812. But, of course, Jackson's ultimate taking of Indian lands was a real problem for Cherokees and other tribes, and it looks at all of that in this fascinating book. So that's coming up to tomorrow. Thanks.